we'll have our public hearing and then go to the tour at 9:30. Sue, do you want to, thank you, Tom.
Give you the overview?
Update, overview.
Okay. Madam Chair and members.
Members.
Sorry. This is the public hearing on House Bill 5039, which is the budget bill for the Department of Revenue. And this morning, what we'd like to do till about 9:30 is just provide you some summary information. I'll do the legislative fiscal office orientation and background part, and then the agency will come up and do a high-level summary to the staff from the Budget and Management Division of Department of Administrative Services. We'll come up and do a summary of the governor's recommended budget. And then from 9:30 to 10:30, we have you scheduled for a tour over at the department, just across the mall, so we'll be walking. It'll be a tour of the processing center and the agency's cartography or mapping unit. And you've got floor sessions scheduled this morning at 10:45 for the Senate and 11 for the House, and we'll have you back in time for those floor sessions. So just briefly, I've provided for you some information which I've paper-clipped together behind the agenda, and you're probably used to seeing this by now. It's first of all, there's a one-page, two-sided sheet that's entitled Orientation and Background. I'll go through that in a minute. And behind that, there's also a one-page, two-sided sheet which just has some printed slides on it. And then finally, there's the excerpt from our published document of the governor's, our analysis of the governor's budget, which has much more detail in it. That's all for your reading pleasure. If I could direct your attention for a moment to the handout with the slides on it. Those four slides briefly tell you what the department does. That first one tells you that it administers the income and property tax programs. It also collects a variety of taxes and fees and other sources of revenue, which it then transfers to state and local agencies and other entities. It acts as a collection agent for state agencies, and then it administers property tax relief programs, the Elderly Rental Assistance Program and the Senior and Disabled Property Tax Deferral Program. That slide below there shows you that the Department of Revenue's budget is predominantly general fund, about 86% general fund, the rest other funds with a little bit of non-limited, which we'll discuss more when we get into the detailed presentation of their budget. If you flip that page over, you'll see the sources of other funds, and those sources primarily are from the agency retaining a portion of the various fees and taxes and assessments that it collects to cover the cost that it incurs for collecting and distributing the sources of revenue.
Madam Chair, question on legislative fiscal. Are those programs such as the Elderly Rental Assistance and Disabled Property Tax Deferral, are they becoming self-supporting, or is that just part of the administration of the administration costs of the Department of Revenue?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, okay. And Representative Butler, I'm going to get into this. The Elderly Rental Assistance Program is, as you know, it's a refundable credit program that's paid for with general fund. And the Senior and Disabled Property Tax Deferral Program is where the property taxes are deferred for certain individuals, and as those properties become ineligible for that deferral, then that money is paid to the state, which has been paying on two counties on behalf of those.
It's collected dollar for dollar, or do we receive some administration?
The department takes some off the top for administration of that program. Yeah.
Thank you.
And finally, the last slide shows you some of the major budget drivers for this agency, and of course population growth, which would drive the number of returns and other activities affected by population growth. Taxpayer noncompliance is a big issue for the agency. And then finally, assistance to counties in administering the property tax system, especially under measures 547 and 50. If you'll turn then to that first page, which I referred to, the one that has orientation and background up at the top, we'll skip over the agency revenue sources unless you have any other questions on that. There is in this excerpt from the analysis of the governor's budget, there is a rather detailed table in there that shows you the major sources of revenue, other funds revenue for the agency. And also in their budget document, there's a revenue tab which has additional information on that. And the agency had two budget notes from the 99 legislative session. Just briefly, one of them had to do with working with other state agencies with mapping systems to try to eliminate duplication of work, and also working with counties to try to provide additional services and support in this area and in the geographic information systems area that also could result in cost savings and just uniformity of administering the property tax system. There's also a budget note which accompanied a $5 million appropriation to the department for the county assessment and taxation functions. And basically what that budget note did was just instruct the agency how to allocate that $5 million. And then also, although it wasn't in the form of a budget note, the legislature also, through the general government subcommittee from last session, directed the department to report on the revenues that it would generate by receiving additional positions, so that a determination could be made as to whether or not those positions should remain permanent. And the agency will cover that as well as how it's responded to these two budget notes when it gets into its detailed presentation.
Madam Chair.
Just by way of clarification, I want to make sure I understand this. The budget note from last session appropriated $5 million in general fund, and that flowed, all of that money flowed through to the counties?
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, I'm not sure that all of it did it. All of it did. The agency is saying that all of that, the full $5 million did. That answers your question. Again, if you flip that page over, you'll see a section called audit reports. There were two audit reports performed on the agency, and the recommendations and the agency's response to those audits are included in their detailed budget document under the tab Special Report. Under Interim Reports and Studies, you'll see there that I'm talking about House Bill 3575 from the 99 session, which directed the department to establish a work group that would study and make recommendations regarding forest land appraisal and valuation, and also to develop an appeals process for landowners regarding real market values of forest land. And the department did convene a working group on that, the Forest Land Values Working Group, and it has prepared a report for the legislature, and also legislation has been introduced in the form of House Bill 3537 to implement those recommendations. And then down at the bottom of that page, under relevant issues, trends, or special challenges, I've listed there funding for the Elderly Rental Assistance Program, and I just wanted to briefly discuss that. That's a program which, as I mentioned, provides direct tax relief to elderly low-income taxpayers through a refundable credit. And if the funding provided by the legislature is not adequate to make 100% of those credits or refund 100% of those credits to the taxpayers, then the department by statute is required to do a pro rata reduction. In the governor's recommended budget, there is $9 million for that program, but the department is projecting a need, if 100% of the credits were refunded, of about close to $11 million. So you can see that there's a substantial difference between what's in the recommended budget and then what it would take to make 100% of the payments to those taxpayers. That pretty much wraps up my overview. And at this point, I'd like to invite the department to come up and do their summary of or their summary presentation.
We're getting settled, may I ask?
Yes,
additional question.
Thank you.
Was the $5 million general fund appropriation from the 99th session a one-time appropriation?
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, it's not treated as a one-time appropriation. So, in other words, it was not phased out of this budget. It is still in the base budget.
Okay. Help me with this. This is freshman land here.
It shows back up in this budget, but it doesn't show back up as $5 million, nor does it show up as $5 million subject to any CSL. As a matter of fact, there's about $400,000 short. It shows back up as $4.6 million and change as a result of diversion of a portion of it, is my understanding. In other words, it was meant to be a continuing appropriation. When we put it in general government last session, but it did not continue in its unfettered form, if you will, at $5 million or $5 million rolled up so that counties would have that money for assistance with the appraisal process.
And so counties, if I understand you correctly, counties then are coming up short.
They would come up short by the at least by the $400,000 that the governor has withheld and diverted back into the agency or back into other places. Again, excuse me. Part of the reason for that, if I may, Madam Chair, was that this overall the function of property tax assessing actually I think falls within the mission of the Department of Revenue. And there are some counties that actually lose money in the process of appraisal work. In other words, it costs them more to run an appraisal department, an assessment and appraisal department within the county, than the county receives in general fund from that process. And so they'd like to just give it back to the Department of Revenue. So what we did was, and that's not making sense. I see that there's a question, but
no, it's making a lot of sense.
And what we did was, we said, well, if $5 million spread out amongst the counties could be utilized, then it could be a function that the county wouldn't necessarily make money on, but it wouldn't be losing money either. In other words, if they were collecting $5 million of tax and only $200,000 of that was for the county's share of the tax for operating its assessment and taxation portion of what they're doing, then and it was costing $2 million, $250,000, and they were actually losing money. And this was a method whereby we could basically subsidize the counties and to do the work that is basically the assigned responsibility of the Department of Revenue.
And so the $5 million was appropriated and is distributed and gone. But there's a continuing obligation or a continuing.
Okay, let me have the director introduce herself for the record and see if she can respond to your question. And then as soon as she's responded, we're going to leave here at 9:30 for the tour, and I want to get to have the director have a chance to get her agency overview done, plus the presentation from Monica. So if we can buzz right along and maybe on the walkover approach the director with a ton of questions, that will get approved this morning.
And I think the counties will have some input on tomorrow.
Yes.
Madam Chair, yes, we have the county scheduled to testify on Thursday.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Elizabeth Harshenko, Director of your Department of Revenue. With me today is my deputy, Jim Maneri. And our plan today, as you said, is to go through a very high-level overview and take you over to the department and show you some of what's going on in the processing operation. We have a presentation document, which I believe you all have.
That's in this book?
Yes. The book with the mission on the cover. What I'd like to do, just very briefly, is go over with you our mission, our values, our vision, and our goals, because this will help you get a sense of who we are. Sue's given you a good overview of sort of the number side and program side. We collect income taxes, we supervise the property tax system and support the county's work at the local level in the property tax system. We also collect cigarette taxes and a variety of other taxes that either go into the general fund or into special purpose funds for the state. But we want to think of ourselves remembering that the reason that we exist is not just to collect money, it's to fund the services that the state and the local government provides. And so we remind ourselves that, of that through our mission statement. When I got to the department 4 years ago, the agency already had some very, very deeply ingrained values, and those are set forth on page 1-3 in the presentation document. One of the most important, if you talk to my employees, is our ethical values. We know that because what we're doing is talking to people about money that they're paying in taxes, that we have to be honest and have very high integrity so that they are confident that the income tax returns that they're sending, the funds that they're sending, are going to be handled appropriately. It's also very important for us to be able to maintain confidentiality for taxpayers, because this is about their financial picture. We place a very high value on operational excellence. I think you'll see that when you go through our tour today. We're trying to do everything that we can using technology and continuous improvement in our systems to make it easier for people to comply and simpler and more economical for us to administer fairly complex tax programs. We try to manage our financial resources as carefully as we can. We know that you entrust us with those funds to use as efficiently as we possibly can, and we carefully process and account for not only our budgeted resources but also the revenue that we handle. And it's very important to us that we have high-quality relationships, whether it's within our agency, with our stakeholders, with you as our board of directors, the governor's office, and taxpayers. Last biennium, we worked on developing a vision for our future, and it has 8 aspects to it. This is a description. The way that these words are set forth is a description of how we think that our world ought to look, and it's our goal to achieve this vision over the next 5 or 6 years. We want to have a positive, productive work environment where people are excited to come to work for us and have the ability to do interesting work and contribute to the quality of the work that we do, and that they have the ability to follow career paths that allow them to use all of their talents and skills, hopefully for the benefit of the state of Oregon. We want everyone to contribute to the work that we do and improvements in the work that we do, and we recognize the importance of continuous learning in this age of changes in technology and the expectations of not only the legislature but the citizens for our performance. One of the things that we know about the income tax systems that we administer is that we rely on voluntary compliance by Oregonians. And we believe that if they understand how their taxes support public services, they're going to be more likely to comply. We try to balance our strategy in administration of tax systems to use a balanced approach: education, people understanding why they're paying taxes, how they're paying taxes, assisting them when needed, and enforcement activities when appropriate. Again, related to the quality and relationships value, part of our vision is to provide excellent service, whether it's internally within our organization, our internal support division supporting our business operations, our external partners, counties, cities, the legislature, federal government, other states, taxpayers, and making sure that everyone is able to get what they need in terms of information in a format that's understandable to everyone. Another part of our vision is to have broad-based working relationships. We've learned that collaborative decision-making and processes help us to improve the work that we do, do it better, do it more effectively, And so we ask actively our employees, stakeholders, taxpayers, external partners to help us in continuously improving the work that we're doing. We're trying to have our organization work well in terms of flow of information. It's really a challenge, I think, in any large organization to be sure that the people who need to be communicating with one another are. But that is a part of our vision, to maximize our use of all the communication tools that we have so that we get our work done well. Again, we believe that if the public understands their system of public finance, what the funds are used for, and why they pay taxes, that that they're going to be more willing to participate voluntarily in the system. We've placed a great deal of emphasis on the use of technology in order to improve our operations, and as we go through the budget document, we will be talking to you about some of those initiatives. We try to take full advantage, without being on the bleeding edge of technology, of the opportunities that automated systems provide for us, and we try to be flexible in adapting our strategies as the world changes. We also try very hard to instill in everyone pride in the service that we're performing in support of the state and service to the people of the state. The next document on page 1-15 is a document for the staff to focus on what we've been able to do and where we're going. And it has our three long-term goals set forth in it. One is to identify and reduce the tax gap, which is the amount of non-compliance with tax systems, and reduce that gap by 50% through a balanced approach of education assistance and enforcement. Our second goal is to, by June 2005, get an A grade for customer service from all of our stakeholders, employees, and internal partners. And our third is to have all of our employees be satisfied with their work environment, whether it's the physical environment, the resources that they have to do their work, and their work-life balance, so that they can be the most productive that they can be. Just recently, we adopted two strategic initiatives for the next biennium. One is to develop a community outreach initiative to increase compliance through education, and another is to develop an intranet within the organization so that we can move a lot of things that are still on paper into an electronic format so that they're more accessible to our employees. Page 1-23 has the basic organizational structure of the agency. We have four big operating divisions, personal tax and compliance, property tax, our business division, and our information processing division. Each of those is headed by a division administrator. We also have some administrative support sections, personnel, research, and finance, that have been reporting to the deputy. We have district offices in Bend, Eugene, Medford, Portland, Salem, and we just moved our Wilsonville office to Tualatin. We have a couple of folks out in Pendleton and an out-of-state office that does corporate audit work in Chicago. I'm going to move into the major programs, high-level overview of the major programs that we administer at the department. And I would encourage you, if you have questions, please feel free to ask. The income tax programs that we administer are the personal income tax and the corporate income and excise tax. The personal income tax is the largest revenue source to the state general fund and accounts for a little over $8 billion of that $9.5 billion of revenue that you see on page 1-26. We do a wide variety of activities in administering the income tax program, from preparing forms and instructions and online information to processing returns, banking payments, auditing returns and collecting delinquent accounts, and seeking returns from people who haven't filed but who should be filing. in the course of all of that. We have a lot of contact with the public. We have a lot of contact with the Internal Revenue Service because we piggyback our definition of taxable income on the federal definition and use a lot of federal information in our administration. The administrative costs that are listed there are the costs for administration of all of those aspects of those two programs, both the personal income tax and the corporate tax. The poster that you see on page 1-27, the dollar bill poster, is one that we started developing 3 or 4 years ago and using to help ourselves appreciate as well as the public appreciate where income tax dollars actually go. They don't just come into the general fund and disappear. They go back to public schools. They go into public safety, human services, and other services that are delivered by state governments. And this is something that, again, really helps us remember why we're doing the work that we're doing. Page 1-29 identifies major budget issues in the income tax programs that are reflected in this budget. As we were going through the budget development process this time, the governor asked all the agencies for 15% worth of reduction options. We were able to identify about a 5% reduction option that would not affect immediately the revenue stream, and the governor accepted that reduction option. It eliminated 50 positions, a little over 35 FTE from our budget, and $4.7 million in general funds. That $4.7 million in general fund reduction includes a $1.8 million unspecified services and supplies and capital outlay reduction, and we will be figuring out how we're going to absorb that as we go through budget allocation after approval of our budget through this process. We were able to give up some positions because of efficiencies that we have developed during this biennium, primarily through automated systems that have allowed our staff to do more work per person and allows us to do the same amount of work with fewer folks. Typically, what we would have done would be reinvest those savings from efficiencies into additional audit and collection efforts. Because of the impact on revenue generation of further cuts, we suggested to the governor that rather than reduce our general fund expenditures and affect the revenue stream, that we propose a tax compliance policy package as a replacement for the remaining 10% of the 15% packages that he had asked for. He accepted that suggestion. And so our budget includes a policy, tax compliance policy package that would add $3.9 million in general fund expenditures, 39 positions, 37 FTEs to the department's budget. Those positions will focus, this is in the income tax area, both personal income tax and corporate income tax. They'll focus on tax compliance activities, and we have said that we would expect to generate an additional $20 million in general fund revenue gross. So the net revenue generated by the proposed package is $16.1 million for the general fund, and that revenue is included in the governor's budget. Our budget also does not include funding to process and mail any kicker checks that might be paid out this fall. The typical manner in which that's handled is if a kicker is determined to be due, we would come back to the emergency board and report on our expected expenditures for issuing those checks, and the cost of the issuance of the checks would be paid out of the gross kicker amount. So if there is one, we'll come back to the e-board on that issue.
There's an ongoing debate in the legislature about the virtue of mailing the checks back or just crediting them in April for tax returns. And one of the things that's mentioned is the cost, which you're talking about, the cost of handling, postage and handling, which is X dollars. But I've wondered, what's the relationship between the cost of handling or the loss of interest to the taxpayers by having the Department of Revenue hold that money from November or December until the next April? and you don't have to answer me now unless you, unless that's something I figure you know, but if I could have a memo on that, I'd appreciate it.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden will be happy to get you that information.
Thank you.
And what you'd like is the time, the value of holding the funds.
The loss to the taxpayer.
For the, from November until an April payment.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get that for you.
Thank you.
And when the March forecast was issued, the governor suggested a, an additional balancing package for that revenue forecast because it was down. The component of that that was related to the Department of Revenue was an additional policy package that would add 16 more positions, 14.6 full-time equivalents, costing $1.6 million to our budget. That would focus on filing enforcement for both personal income and corporate income tax programs. We projected we would generate a total of $7.9 million in additional general fund revenue of a net of $6.3 million general fund. So that was in the governor's proposal for to rebalance after the March forecast. The other big area in which we work is the property tax system. In this system, we work in partnership with the counties. Most of the administration of the property tax system does take place at the local level through the 36 county assessors and tax collectors. We support them through education, training, and assistance, statewide policy direction, because the Constitution directs that the property tax system must be administered under a uniform system of laws. We provide appraisals for all industrial and utility properties that are worth more than $1 million. So, paper plants, food processing plants, high tech, wood products, and any kind of manufacturing operation that's worth more than $1 million would be, the value would be determined by our staff and then certified to the counties. And then all of the centrally assessed properties, which are airlines, railroads, communications companies, and energy companies, are assessed by the department. And values divided up and distributed to the counties every year. We also create and maintain maps for 15 of the counties and provide general support and oversight on mapping for those counties that have their own mapping staff. And we administer the timber tax program. And as Sue mentioned to you, we are going through a transition now in the way that forest lands are taxed. Started out under House Bill 3575 last legislative session, and House Bill 3537 is now working its way through the process to continue that transition. The local property tax revenues that are generated on a biennial basis are about $5.8 billion. The department's administrative costs for a two-year period are $24 million. And we've made another dollar bill poster for people to understand and appreciate where local property tax dollars go. The major budget issues in the property tax system are House Bill 3575, the forest land tax bill. It is changing the way that forest land taxes are administered from a combined program of property tax and a privilege tax that is assessed at the time trees are cut to a full property tax system with no privilege tax. The privilege tax will phase out by January 1, 2003. We've given up positions in the reduction package to reflect that change. We also proposed, and this is the topic of discussion earlier this morning, we also proposed a county support program, our industrial and valuation program that provides values to the counties, has seen growth in the numbers of accounts and the complexity of the properties that are being valued, and no growth in the number of appraisers. And so we asked for permission to add 7 positions to our budget, and they're funded in 2 ways. The department has responsibility to administer a grant program to the counties to as an incentive for them to maintain adequate assessment and taxation functions. The way the program works very briefly is that each year, fees are assessed against documents that are recorded in the counties. The funds come into the department and are put into our grant account. The property tax division works with the county assessors to make sure that they have an appropriate level of staffing and resources for their assessment and taxation function, and the counties then apply for grants. The grant money goes directly into the county general fund. It is not earmarked to be used for assessment and taxation. It's an incentive for the county fully funding an adequate level of assessment and taxation function. The $5 million general fund appropriation last biennium was put into that grant account as a vehicle for distribution, and we distributed the full $5 million through a series of payments every calendar quarter. Those funds went into the county general funds and were used at the discretion of the counties.
Senator Dukes?
When we first did that, I think a $10 transaction fee, I think it is, we were very clear that if the counties reduced the amount of their own general fund commitment to the assessor's office, they would not receive the state funds. In fact, your file should contain letters to Clatsop County, who did just that. And the state threatened, if they did not continue their commitment, that they would not receive the state funds. I just wanted to make that real clear, because this money was never, I mean, it was not an easy vote of members of the legislature to do that, and it was never intended to be just another amount of money for the county general fund.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, every year we work with the counties, and on that principle, there's a requirement in the statute that they have to adequately support their assessment and taxation function, and that the grant dollars are contingent on that adequate support.
That I understood you to say, yeah. It goes into their general fund,
does go into
and
their
that
general
we
fund.
Don't have any say over that, and I hope we still do, or whenever that comes up for reimbursement, I'm not sure if you're saying it continued.
Senator Carno, Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, when Randy Evers comes up to speak with you, he's the administrator of the Property Tax Division, he can talk to you about the work that he's been doing with the counties on encouraging them to understand the importance of adequately funding the assessment and taxation function, and that the grants are contingent on that adequate level of support. But it's nice to have an incentive program, have the grants available as an incentive for them to adequately fund, rather than us just having to say, you've got to do it.
Because at that point, when we passed all of that, we were still on this, a six-year cycle, and more than half the counties, I think, were out of the six-year cycle, and it wasn't their fault, and we said, we really want to help you, and we're willing to generate some additional funds to do that, but you can't cut back from where you are, or you're not going to get the funds. We're not here doing this just to keep you inadequately funded. There is no six-year cycle. Well, there probably still is one on the book someplace, but for all intents and purposes, Measure 47, I guess, took us out of that. But nonetheless, this shouldn't just be to go into the pond.
Chair, Senator Dukes, your history is absolutely right. With Measure 47 and Measure 50, the six-year cycle is gone. But the significance of bringing new construction and newly annexed property into the tax system is very important. And actually the administrative work at the county level has gotten much more complex with Measure 50. So we hear from the counties regularly about the trying to balance the work of the assessment and taxation program and the importance of that with other services that the counties are trying to provide. And it's a tough one.
I'll have you go about five more minutes, and then we'll take our customary break and try to leave here promptly at 9:30 for our tour.
So part of the seven positions would be funded out of that document fee. The statute allows the department to use up to 10% of the revenue that comes in from the document fee to help pay for the county support program and the industrial valuation program. And so an additional $514,796 would come from that. The other $406,000, that would fund this policy package comes out of the continued $5 million general fund contribution into that grant account, at the governor's recommendation, and would help support the generation of additional value on the roll and property tax revenue at the local level. House Bill 2139 passed last legislative session, and it directed us to develop a base map system, which we have named ORMAP. That's a name, not an acronym, Representative Butler, to facilitate and improve administration of the property tax system. It is funded by a dollar of the document recording fee, and we need another funds limitation in order to be able to spend those funds. We have an advisory committee that's established criteria for grants to the counties for creation of a digital map base, one that can be used through the internet by the public as well as the counties, and to continue to improve the quality of that map base over time for property tax purposes. One of the really exciting things about this project is that we're developing partnerships with the federal government, local government, the private sector, because once that base is completed, it's going to have functions that are going to enable it to be used for much more than just the property tax system. And it's a really great example of how technology allows for leveraging of resources. The 1999 legislature created a new property tax deferral program to benefit disabled citizens. There was a little discussion earlier this morning about our senior citizens property tax deferral program, by which the state pays property tax on behalf of eligible senior homeowners. And there's then a lien against the property, and when the property is sold, then the proceeds of that sale are used to pay the state back for the taxes that have been advanced over the years. Last session, the legislature extended that program to the disabled, and the first round of applications for that program are due this month. So we will get a sense of the extent of the interest in that program a little bit later this month, and we will keep Sue informed of sort of how that's going. But because there was a fee increase in the recording fees last session, we need an additional $252,000 in other funds limitation in order to be able to pay those recording fees and recoup the funds from the program. Page 1-34 has a list of the other programs that the Department of Revenue administers. You can see it's quite a variety. In addition to collecting taxes at the state level and also collecting accounts for other state agencies that have delinquent accounts, we also collect payroll taxes and self-employment taxes for the two transit districts, one in the TriMet area and one in Lane County, administer the senior citizens program and the elderly rental assistance program, which Sue also mentioned earlier this morning, which is a payment to low-income elderly renters, and we'll be discussing that just a little bit later. The big budget issue in our other programs, in the cigarette tax program, there's another policy option package proposed in the governor's recommended budget that would add $996,890 in general funds and 9 positions to our budget to improve our administration of the cigarette tax program. We have done quite a bit of research and work with the health division over the last year, and recognize that there's been a significant reduction in the cigarette tax revenue stream. A big chunk of that is due to people not smoking. There's been a reduction in the volume of smoking, but another big chunk of it is due to non-compliance with the tax program. And many states are having similar problems, whether it's people smuggling cigarettes that have no taxes paid and trying to sell them, or smuggling cigarettes from very low tax states into Oregon, which is now a relatively high cigarette tax state, or actually creating counterfeit cigarette tax stamps in order to avoid payment of the tax. So it's been a sleepy little program for many, many years, and it's now coming into a different dimension. So we do have a policy package increase our administration, and we believe we could generate an additional net of $6.1 million over the biennium to the general fund from that program. The Elderly Rental Assistance Program is one that Sue mentioned to you. We have a $9 million appropriation to fund that program in our budget this biennium, and it actually pays for both direct payments to elderly low-income renters and also pays the property taxes for nonprofit homes for the elderly. We project that the $9 million appropriation will not be sufficient to pay the actual claims. And I've already been speaking to the House Revenue Committee about some administrative changes to help us manage that better, because right now we have the ability to prorate for the individual payments, but not for the property tax payments for the nonprofit homes, and the order in which we make the payments and the information that we have available in order to project makes it very problematic to stay within the appropriations. So we'll be talking to you about that as well. Looks like it's close to 9:30, so.
Senator, rather than take up time now, do you have anything in writing? I am not aware of the nonprofit homes for the elderly, and I just thought they were tax exempt. I didn't realize that we were paying their taxes, so there's something out there I could look at.
Madam Chair, Senator Deuce, I have a little write-up I can give you that discusses both programs.
Is that what causes the increase in the program, and why what we have budgeted is short? Or I'm thinking property taxes are down, and when someone dies or sells their home, we get the tax money back. So.
Madam Chair, Senator Duke, there are two different programs.
Okay.
Senior deferral is a self-sustaining program of payment of property tax and repayment of property tax. The Elderly Rental Assistance Program is for people who do not own their homes. They are renting, and it's a carryover from the old HARP program. Well, this is the last vestige of the HARP program, and it's a payment. They have to be very, very low-income people, and it's a payment that helps against the component of their rent that's probably property tax. And then the nonprofit homes for the elderly, the cost of that part of the program is increasing because more of those homes are being built as the population ages. So we're seeing an increase in the cost of that. But I have a little briefing I can give you on that. Now would be a good breaking point.
Is everyone here that's here now? Representative Johnson sent me a note. She's unable to go on the tour. Is everyone else going on the tour?
I'm not, Madam.
Okay, thank you, Representative Witt. And Madam Director, it's about three blocks.
It's just straight up the mall, the big gray building on the right.
You're going to lead the
transportation
way.
Yeah, if we can just meet on the front step.
Okay,
walk up.
We'll do that in about 3 minutes then, and we are adjourned.